Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. And joining me today is my great friend, Jeff Dunitz from Lidblog.com. He's back and he's bad. And he's mad. He's back, he's bad, and he's mad. He's mad because people are hijacking the Holocaust for stupid political purposes. And I guess maybe, Jeff, we got to start with Larry David, right? With his stupid essay in the New York Times about attacking
Bill Maher. And he did it 3 days before Yom HaShoah, which is a day where Jews all over the world remember the Holocaust. So he picked the perfect time for it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote about it. Everybody's been kind of bagging on Larry David, but he's not the only one doing it either. No. There's a whole lot of people doing the whole "everybody I don't like is Hitler" thing. This has been going on for a long time in American politics. It really needs to stop because, as Bill Maher himself said, you know, Hitler's kind of his own category, right? And there's nothing analogous to Hitler in American politics.
Pritzker's big on using it. Pritzker's been using it for months. And he eats anybody who doesn't agree with him. That's why he's so heavy.
Well, I don't know if I have room to talk about people's weight.
And here's my problem, okay? Really, honestly, it makes me sick to my stomach. And half of it is the reporter's fault. When somebody mentioned it, okay, Lois has an aunt who went to Auschwitz. She had numbers on her arm. They should say, you know, does Trump put numbers on people's arm? Okay, did he write a book telling him how he's going to kill Jews? Does he send people to ovens and, you know, to kill them and then put them in ovens? If he doesn't do that, he's not Hitler.
Well, I'll go you one better. I don't remember hearing about how Hitler would have his critics over to dinner and have pleasant chats with them. He would send them places, but not to his own dinners. He would send them to the camps and usually to be killed. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it really is. It's offensive to anybody who's got a sense of history. It's offensive, but especially to the family, you know, the people whose families went through the camps, who died in the camps. This is a singular piece of evil that, again, we talk about Godwin's law, and even Mike Godwin, who wrote this, is kind of say, well, you can still use the Nazis to, you know, compare to Hitler. That's okay by me. It's nonsense.
No.
Or actually put it well, if you're pulling out Hitler, you've lost the argument because it's stupid. Some
other genocides are for territory or for money or something like that. The Holocaust was similar to nothing. It was just to kill the people.
Right.
It wasn't for money. It wasn't for territory. It was, you know, singular. No one else did that. But the thing is again, the reporters should confront them. They don't.
Right. You know, the funny thing is that there actually are people out there who are talking about, you know, how Hitler had the right idea. It's some of those people are on college campuses over the last 19 months, right? I mean, they're actually the extremists. I'm not talking about everyone who's out there, but the extremists among them are talking about how Hitler had the right idea. And, you know, the terrorists in the Middle East are saying the same thing. And yet you never hear them talk about the fact that there may be an analogy to Hitler and it's found in Hamas and Hezbollah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at Cory Booker. I mean, again, I don't think it has anything to do with politics. Okay. And I'm not using that name because, you know, I don't think people should vote for him. I just people think, he said, this is all because of Israel's problem with Palestine. It has nothing to do with Palestine. Do you know what? I was in Israel when they moved out of Gaza. Okay. So if he really feels like that, he should move and say hello to the Hamas people, you know? There's actually a couple of professors. There's one from Washington University who got in trouble for exactly what you said. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, there's not as many people killed as you think. You know, how they always said Abbas was a moderate.
Yeah.
His college thesis was on why the Holocaust is fake.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of denial is kind of built into the whole, well, he's like Adolf Hitler. It is a form of Holocaust denial. It is a form of just ignoring the Holocaust for political purposes.
Another reason, if you don't like them, fine.
Yeah.
I don't like the policies. But calling someone Hitler, first of all, it's stupid because you're not making a good argument against the policies.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
You know, and actually there are a lot of unfortunate issues with it, but. And I think that's one of the problems with, people say, well, the Democrats don't have a leader or anything else because they're so busy calling Trump a Hitler instead of saying, I don't like this policy, I do it this way. I don't like this policy, I do it that way. If they did that, they'd probably be doing a lot better.
Well, I think so. I mean, and then again, it's that would be legitimate. I mean, I think you can make a legitimate argument about Donald Trump that's based on policy. It's even based on personality. You don't like his personality. You think he's inclined to be an autocrat. You think he's inclined to run roughshod over the divisions between the different branches. Those are actually fine arguments to make. I don't necessarily agree.
He's not on Twitter.
He's on Truth Social, and they have a Twitter account that links to it. So he's kind of sort of on Twitter these days.
But it used to scare the hell out of me.
Why is that?
Because I think that in 2020, one of the reasons why he lost was because of all the stupid things he said on Twitter.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that we could talk about why he lost. That's not really the point of this. But I mean, the point is that you can have disagreements with the policies. You can have disagreements with or just have a dislike of Trump. He kind of makes it easy to do that. Frankly, and I think he does it on purpose because he likes to provoke people, and yes, that's you can criticize. But that doesn't make him Hitler. It doesn't even really make him Silvio Berlusconi, which is actually what I think is the closest analogy to Donald Trump in terms of world leaders. And Silvio Berlusconi was just Silvio Berlusconi. I don't think anybody even remembers Berlusconi here, and that's the reason why they don't use it. Hitler. It's their go-to. It's a stupid go-to.
Yeah. They also use Stalin as an example.
Well, Stalin is at least as bad as Hitler. It's just that he was as bad in a different direction. And
well, he killed his own people.
He killed his own people, yeah. Well, he persecuted Jews too, but not on the industrial scale that Hitler did.
Like I said, if the press got it, did it right, it would be over with. If they asked the right questions, it would be over with. But come on. When the campaign for 2020 started, I mean, I was just looking at my stuff. I was saying that how dare his family let Biden talk because he's senile. And if you said he was senile, you got nasty letters. How could you dare? And it turns out you were right. But, the media, that's one of the reasons why we do what we do, because the media doesn't tell the truth.
Right.
And they don't ask the right questions. And that's a case of them not asking the right questions when they talk about Trump being Hitler.
Right. And I mean, this feeds into the whole generally the rise of anti-Semitism here in the United States, too. It's easy to be anti-Semitic if you're going to completely disregard the Holocaust. And it's easy to be anti-Semitic in the situation where you've got people misusing Hitler at the same time that their allies are on college campuses quasi-praising, the radicals, at least among them, quasi-praising.
Well, it started long before that, though.
Ages.
In my 68 years on Earth, one of the biggest anti-Semites, his name is Barack Obama.
Right.
Who said that that it was Jews who drove us into the Iraq War, and things like that.
Yeah.
So
it's very acceptable these days in Democrat circles to do this kind of thing, and there needs to be a consequence for that, and we need to be speaking out against it. So it's one of the reasons why I was glad to get you on the podcast here. There's another reason why I get
Huffington Post used to be like that, and the Daily Kos used to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and look, I mean, there's anti-Semites on both sides of the political aisle. They're on the fringes. It's kind of like, you know,
absolutely.
You don't have a spectrum. What you've got is a flat donut, right? And at the extremes, they tend to meet. And anti-Semitism.
You know, people thought that. What's his name? I'm trying to remember the congressman's name, but the only one who voted against Trump's.
Ron Paul?
No, the congressman, not the.
No, you're talking about the father. Are you talking about recently? I'm not sure. Thomas. Yeah, recently.
Ron Paul's father was an anti-Semite.
Absolutely, he was. Yeah, it was one of the issues that came up when he ran for president twice.
And what he used to say is because he had these notes that he would send out to people.
It was a newsletter. He had a newsletter going.
And have all these and he would say, "Oh no, but I didn't write them."
Well, yeah.
Something goes out in your name. I know something goes out in my name. I double check it, you know, and then I have my wife double check it because, you know,
Oh, I know your wife, and she's better at it than you are. So right. Yeah, good choice.
But I wouldn't let anything go out of my name if it wasn't something I really believed in.
Right. Right.
That's the problem.
And Larry David put that essay out under his own name, and the New York Times ran it. And I think there's really two issues there. One is Larry David, and the other is New York Times. The New York Times did not have to run that column. They chose to run that column. Larry David doesn't work for them. He's not one of their regular columnists. That was a special column that they chose to run. And I think it was despicable. I think it was absolutely despicable. And if, this is the same platform that Tom Cotton was too extreme to write for, just simply discussing what a federal response to riots in cities might look like in 2020.
Else about the New York Times. Any story about the Holocaust back when it was happening, they buried in the back of the newspaper.
Well, and also the Ukrainian Holodomor, right? It was the same thing. That was the whole Walter Duranty thing. Walter Duranty kept telling, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. That Stalin's doing great. They're not starving in Ukraine. It's a propaganda. Don't listen to it. And they gave him a picture for it.
It was before Stalin, but my grandparents, my father's parents and his parents, they had to escape Ukraine in Odessa. They had to run across the roofs because the Cossacks were at them after them to get to the Black Sea.
Yeah.
So actually, since Catherine the Great, she took over. I mean, I've done the history. Ukraine has been anti-Semitic.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's Catherine and Oxford.
That whole region. And, you know, my great grandparents were from that region. My great grandparents were Jewish.
And they know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm familiar. All right. I want to talk about something else, though. And that is the election of Jeff Dunitz. You are actually on the Harut Slate. For the World Zionist Congress, and that is that's happening pretty soon, right? The election for that is happening pretty soon, May 4th, right?
Now it's over May 4th, and the conference is next October, and I'm on the slate, and if we get enough votes, then and it goes down to my name on the slate, then yeah, I get to go.
Who can vote in the World Zionist Congress elections?
All you have to do is be Jewish and have $5. You need $5 to vote.
Yeah, it's a fun. It's a little bit of a fundraiser, right? Or it's just at least covering the cost of the election, right?
I don't even know. I don't care. But I had to give $5 to be on the slate. And if you go to my site, libblog.com, I have the address, the URL to go to.
Yeah, libblog.com/send-the-lid. Send the lid with dashes in between the words. Libblog.com, send the lid with dashes between the words. And that's going on right now, right? The election's going on right now. They're taking votes right now.
Right. For another week. The bad part is, folks, I'm sorry, but I'm coming back at the end of it.
Well, we like that. We're happy to send you, as we're happy to lend you to the Congress, but we want you to come back.
Well, though, I intend to call in and do little things for Ed and at least send pictures while I'm there.
Yeah, we're going to do a few of these. Absolutely.
You know, to make it up, because when he went for the Pope, you know, he was a little upset that he didn't wear a red yarmulke so he could vote.
Yeah, they didn't. You can't get into that one by just being Catholic and sending in $5.
You know what? It's funny because I think I listened to it on the radio when I was driving around more than I listened to anything else. You know, because they get commentary, you know, and you wait for the smoke.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually in a radio interview. It was being recorded when the smoke came out. And I had just got done saying that I didn't think it was going to happen for another couple of days. And like about 10 seconds later, I saw smoke, white smoke coming out of the chimney. And I had to tell the guy, I got to run. And
if you don't know, if the smoke comes out black, that means the vote, they didn't vote, elect a Pope. But if it comes out white, it means that they elected a Pope.
Yes. Yes.
And if it comes out blue, it means the Pope is Jewish.
Have to be blue and white. Blue and white, I think it would be a Jewish Pope. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. The conclave starts on May 7th, so we'll know whether or not you're going to. Let me ask that. I think the voting ends on May 4th. When did we get the results on the Herut election to the World Zionist Congress?
A couple of months later, or months, because they have to compile everything.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. So we won't know for a little bit
Do it accurately. They make sure they got it right. And actually, it doesn't start until October.
Right, right.
So, you know, they're very good at doing it right. And, you know, and the interesting thing is that when you do it, you can't talk bad about any of the other slates. So it's not like American politics.
Well, that's nice. Because, anybody who's going to go to the World Zionist Congress, I mean, you might have different approaches, but you really want the same thing, right? Which is to promote Israel and to promote Israel's security and to combat anti-Semitism, which is what we started out discussing.
Yep. I'll tell you something funny, though. Last time, 5 years ago, I just joined Herut and I didn't know anything. And I wrote an article beating up, I don't remember what group. And they sent, do you know that there's a Zionist court?
No. That's interesting.
Yes. And I was, and my article was sent to the Zionist court and they asked me to take it down.
Oh, well.
Well, because of my group, I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, they're taking it seriously, which is good. You know, you want to know they're taking it seriously.
As long as they didn't, you know, they didn't bother with my copy of Going Red, which if you haven't bought a copy of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Your 2028.
Yeah, it's going magenta. I'm going to write a book called Going Magenta. No, I have not updated it for 2028. Nobody's asked me either, so I don't know. Anyway, Jeff, we're going to have to wrap this up. But again, libblog.com. Go check out Send the Lid. That's the post for Jeff's. For the World Zionist Congress elections, and Jeff is on the Herut slate, and depending on how much Herut gets,
a politician, whether you're right or left or, you know, conservative or liberal, if you see a politician using the Holocaust for a political thing, send him a note.
Yeah, absolutely. Object to it. It matters.
Yeah.
Jeff Dunitz, thanks again, and we'll be talking with you soon.